Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Okay, our first spoiler warning. We are going to talk about the massively popular Korean drama series Squid Game, a show that hit number one on Netflix in 94 different countries. We are talking about Squid Game. That is the spoiler warning. On September 17th, the series dropped on Netflix, and almost instantly, audiences realized that this show had that I can't take my eyes off it quality. Netflix released its quarterly report yesterday, and the streamer reported that two-thirds of all Netflix users globally have watched some of the series Squid Game. And the service saw growth of 4.4 million subscribers, a million more than anticipated. To catch up those unfamiliar, or if you just need a refresher, Squid Game follows hundreds of contestants, all of whom are deeply in debt, as they agree to compete in six children's games for an enormous cash prize, what translates to what could be about $40 million. So in the first episode, episode one, called Don't Get Hurt Too Bad, when we hear the sweet music and it comes up as 456 adults are asked to play Red Light, Green Light, it seems easy, right? What could go wrong? The issue is, if you lose a round, you lose your life. In that particular game, if a contestant didn't stop moving on the red light, an enormous doll fires bullets out of its eyes with sniper-like precision. Almost half the contestants don't live to see the next challenge. Parallel to the show's violence and, frankly, gore is a condemnation of capitalism and a discussion around debt, poverty, and the weight of their cyclical nature. The Atlantic's Morgan Omeh wrote about these themes in her new article, In Netflix's Squid Game, Debt is a Double-Edged Sword. Hi, Morgan. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Listeners, we want to hear from you. Do you watch Squid Game? What did you think of the show? What about the reactions online? Were you involved in any conversations around the show? Do you have questions after watching? Call in and let us know what you think about the show and why you think the show has been such a huge success. 646-435-7280. 646-435-7280. We're also interested in how you feel about the violence in the show. Did you keep watching or did it stop you from watching? Our number, 646-435-7280. Also, you can hit us up on social media at All of It WNYC. That's our Twitter and our Instagram. So in your article, Morgan, you discuss the central theme of debt. What do you think the show reveals about debt and the desperation that other shows haven't in the past?
That's a great question. And while I was watching the show, I thought using debt as a central way to bring the characters together into the arena was really smart because it allowed the writer director Hwang Dong-hyuk to then talk about the other debts that all people have. You know, the obligations we have to ourselves, to our family, to our communities. And I think, you know, it's a very violent show, and obviously financial debt is what puts people in this precarious situation where they're willing to risk their lives for the chance of, you know, wiping their financial debts clean. But I think the show is also trying to tell us that financial debt isn't the only motivating factor in our lives, and the debts we owe to each other to be good people, to uphold our morals, that might actually be the way to, you know, push back against capitalism.
The visual aesthetic and palette of the show are striking. It's colorful and sparkly. It sort of reminded me of that sinister element that's in Willy Wonka a little bit, only quite sinister. As a creative device, what do you think about these design choices?
Well, just as a viewer, I love the set designs and the color palettes. And I mean, I don't know if you've seen, but a lot of people are buying those green tracksuits for their Halloween costumes. So it does have a very unique aesthetic, which I think does make it stand out in the survival game drama genre. But as a, like, just for the purpose of juxtaposition, I think it is really jarring to see, like, pastel colored sets splattered in blood. And I know that it can be really jarring, but I think, you know, the show is not meant to be subtle at all. So mm-hmm. I think it was effective in that way.
One of the topics a lot of people are discussing is the violence. The show doesn't hint at a death it's portraying. It shows it excessively. Bloody settings, masked killings. There are people being sliced up and chopped up. How do you interpret the show's use of violence, particularly its willingness to kill off characters, many of whom we root for?
Yeah, and I mean, it can be really heartbreaking in some of the episodes, like, not to spoil anything, but episode 6, I definitely cried during. But while I was watching the show, I'm not like the biggest fan of gore and violence. I kept asking myself, like, what is the purpose of this? What is the director trying to use violence to say? And I kept thinking about, you know, the characters' lives in the real world, the deaths they face, the massive crushing weight of living mm-hmm. that they have to put up with. And I thought the director was, you know, trying to make a comparison, like, are we okay with letting people live in this unequal society, and they do experience violence in the real world, but why are we so uncomfortable with watching it explicitly on a screen in a game setting? So I think it was trying to discomfort the viewer, to really make the viewer reflect on the kinds of violence that we find acceptable and unacceptable, mm-hmm. Because they're both, you know, really horrible.
My guest is Morgan Ome. She's an assistant editor at The Atlantic. She wrote a piece in Netflix's Squid Game, Debt is a Double-Edged Sword. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Are you watching Squid Game? What did you think of the show? What about the reactions online? What kind of conversations has the show brought up in your world? Do you have any questions after watching the show? 646-435-7280. And I would love to know why you think the show has resonated with so many people and been such a success, and how you feel about the violence in the show. 646-435-7280. Our social media is at All of It, WNYC, Twitter and Instagram. So, Morgan, I want to read you something that somebody sent us on Instagram. This is the first I'm experiencing really bad acted over dubbing. It's very distraction. Is this what other countries hear when watching American movies? What are your thoughts on there's been a lot of discussion about the translation of the show and whether to read the subtitles or to go with the overdubbing.
I haven't watched Squid Game with dubbing, so I don't really have a sense of what that experience is like. I watched with the subtitles, and I know there's been some discussion of the accuracy and if it really gets all the cultural context that viewers need. I have watched a lot of Korean dramas like since I was a kid, and I think there are things that can be lost, but I think the central messages are pretty clear, even if you watch with subtitles. I'm not really sure about the dubbing, but I think that, you know, the core messages still come through.
In terms of any of the translation, are any key ideas from what you've watched being lost in the language that's been chosen?
So just a caveat that I'm not fluent in Korean, mm-hmm. but I think, like, one thing that doesn't translate or isn't translated in the subtitles is the use of honorifics. Hmm. So there's one character named Ali Abdul. He's a Pakistani migrant worker, and he constantly refers to the other characters as Sajangnim, which is an honorific, you know, the translation that Netflix chose was sir, but it's really like to give you the context that Ali has, because he's a migrant worker, you know, he's used to deferring to others. He probably learned Korean in a very professional setting to defer to his superiors in a workplace. So that's why he uses that honorific. And I have seen, like, people talking about it, but it doesn't really come through, I think, in the subtitles as well.
Let's take a call. Joan on line 2 calling in from Manhattan. Hi, Joan. Thanks for calling All of It. Have you been watching Squid Game?
I watched 5 episodes of it. I watched first three episodes, and then I thought I wouldn't go back to it, and then I decided to return to it and see if the violence, it was just unpalatable to for me to even think in terms of what goes on in our society and the problems with violence that we're living with day to day. I just visually, it was too horrific.
It was too much.
So I'm not planning to continue watching it, to return again.
Joan, thank you so much for calling in. Let's go to line one. Deborah is calling in from Sussex County, New Jersey. Hi, Deborah. Tell us about your experience watching Squid Game.
Hi, Allison. Well, initially, when I heard about it and I heard all the buzz about it, for some reason, I thought it was going to be a reality show. So imagine my surprise when I saw that it was actually a scripted movie, not a movie, but a series. And my younger son is a huge fan of anime and manga and graphic novels. So my first impression, having seen a lot of Korean film, I also hated the dubbing. I watched it both. I had it with subtitles and I had it with dubbing, and I have seen the entire series. I won't give anything away, but I was very invested in the characters after I got over the initial shock of how dispensable they were and what was underneath it all. I had heard that the production values were very good, and they were excellent. The cinematography, aside from the bad dubbing, and there's always going to be idiomatic expressions that don't translate well, I was fascinated by all the characters' backstories. I especially liked the character who was the pickpocket and was, you know, very sympathetic to her situation. And of course, the protagonist, you know, had everybody's, I think we were most invested in him. And the number one, who was seemed to be the kindly old sage that was there. And it had all those elements of drama. The violence, though, the one thing that really concerns me, and I've seen this on Facebook, is some children who are in elementary school who either have insane parents that would expose them to the show, because it's definitely not for young children, or maybe even early adolescents, are copying the Squid Game graphics and passing notes out in school to the horror of the teachers.
Yeah. Deborah, thank you for calling in. I want to read a tweet to you, Morgan, and I think this person is really catching into what you were writing about. Intuition said via Twitter, I found it interesting that episode 2 was titled Hell, but didn't actually take place in the game. It took place in the players' real lives. I think that's an important point the writer was making. Is that correct, Morgan?
Yeah. I was talking to some of my friends who are fluent in Korean, and we were talking about how interesting it is that the characters refer to the real world as hell. Chiok is the Korean word. And in that episode, adding on to what Deborah was saying about the characters' backstories, we really do get to know what's motivating them, why they are choosing to go back into this really hellish arena, and understanding that they truly believe that the real world is worse than this, like, dystopic, candy-colored, bloody arena.
Well, yeah, that's sort of what the previous caller was talking about, how the violence wasn't palatable, and that sort of becomes an issue. Like, well, is it the way these people have to live in their real lives palatable?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I think resonates with a lot of people, you know, no matter where you live, like, especially coming out of the pandemic and thinking about wealth inequality and thinking about, you know, who really bears the burdens in our society. I think these themes are really at the forefront of a lot of people's minds. So I think the show came out at a time when people are already questioning these things in their own lives. And then the show just really, like, hits it on the head and packages it in a way that's also really entertaining. Like, I binge the show because every episode ends on a cliffhanger, and I just thought it was extremely well paced, and just like a really entertaining watch as well.
I just want to say something from one of our callers who we're not going to have time to get to. Tony from Fort Lee said, most of his friends are Korean. Don't know why anyone is horrified. The show is basically real life. It's kind of dark, but it's an important point to make. And I think the show makes a lot of important points if you can make it through the violence. The name of the show is Squid Game, and I've been speaking to Morgan Ome, assistant editor at The Atlantic. Morgan, thank you so much for sharing your writing with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Allison.